Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we should conclude this message I've been sharing this week on faith's victory. And we were looking and have been looking at Psalm 77, and it is written by Asaph, and it is unclear. He's not specific about what he's going through, but he's going through a very difficult time. He said he was so troubled he couldn't speak. Have you ever been in a place? That is very serious. Whether it was a personal failing, whether it was disease or sickness, whatever it was, he was going through, and I believe God left it to be unspecified because we can then relate to it. Regardless of the source of it, he was in a place of utter exhaustion, prostration. He was upset. He begins the psalm, let me say this, for those who have been listening, I'm repeating, but the very first verse says, I cried unto God. He repeats it, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. So there is a positive affirmation at the very beginning of the psalm, but then he goes on to describe how he was feeling. Sometimes it's really important to do this, to share with the Lord, Lord, I'm feeling this way. Why aren't you answering? Why are you so far off? And he said, his sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I'm so troubled I can't speak. That is making a great statement. But the pivotal verse is found, I believe, in verse 10. This is my infirmity. This is where I'm at, God. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And he just repeats that with those following two verses. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So I've said, what are the lessons we can learn in this psalm? First thing, we call unto the Lord, we pray. And then there's a searching of the heart. Lord, is there anything I've done to open a door? Is there any sin that I've not repented of? And then, very importantly, is submitting to God. That is very critical. Sometimes if we're getting off track, God allows affliction to come our way so that we can be stopped short, if we will, and return to the Lord. Psalm 66:11 says, Thou broughtest us into the net. You can't get away from the Lord. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. He does that. He doesn't willingly afflict the sons of men. But out of love, he will not let us go off in a direction that he knows is going to be detrimental or dangerous to us. So, what are the responses that we should take in a time of severe affliction? There's prayer, there's searching of the heart, submission to God, remembering the works of God, which he was doing. We see that in verses 11 and 12. And then to begin to praise God, extolling God with our mouth, testimony and praise. And he does that. He goes on in verse 13, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. He was so great a God as our God. And then he rehearses a lot of things that God did for his people Israel when he brought them out of Egypt and part of the Red Sea. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. And verse 20, thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He recalls and praises God for all the things that he has done. He talks of his doings. Who is so great a God as our God? And in the verse 13, the Amplified says, Thy way is in the sanctuary, in holiness, away from sin and guilt. Who is a great God like our God? And so, beloved, we will find help and strength in the time of affliction as we recall what God has done on our behalf in days past. Psalm 63:2 says, "My flesh longeth for thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." And then in Psalm 73, David is lamenting the prosperity of the wicked. And he said, "When I thought to know this," verse 16, "it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end." In other words, spiritual understanding came to him. So often it seems why evil is prospering, proliferating in the world in which we're living. But when he goes into the house of God, when we consider God's ways, the word of God, as found in the scriptures, we know what the end of the wicked is. Psalm 96:6 says, "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty is in his sanctuary." And so, God has a message for us in this psalm. We see in verses 11 through 20, basically, as he begins to praise God, a renewed assurance in the delivering power of God. God will do what he has declared. His way is in the sea. Now, that's an interesting statement because we can't see his way in the sea. And biblically, sometimes water is a symbol of chaos and forces hostile to God. The water shrank away in fear, if you will, when he appeared, and so the Red Sea was crossed. Remember, the wind blew and the people of God passed over on dry ground. The water stood up as on a heap until everyone was safely passed over. I mean, that was an absolute miracle. And the power of God in aiding his oppressed people is described in terms of a furious thunderstorm. Amidst whirlwind, between flashes of lightning, God strode the sea ahead of his people, too sublime for mortal eye to see, but revealing himself to them in the power of his might. Israel had an experience of God's presence and power. And beloved, whatever you may be going through at this present time, whatever has come against you, whatever hindrances, whatever sorrows, perhaps whatever personal defeats, you've done something, you've gone somewhere you thought you would never go, and you've wondered, how could I have done this? Will the Lord forgive me? The answer is yes. His arms are open to you. He knows the Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. But as we come to the Lord in repentance and in love and in trust and remembering his faithfulness and his mercies to us, his mercies are new every morning, beloved. So God's arms are open to you, and he wants to comfort you and change those situations. Remember, as I shared yesterday's broadcast, in the case of Job, he was so terribly afflicted, and then his comforters, his friends, were anything but comforters. They just said, "Well, obviously, you're going through what you've gone through because there's sin in your life, there is some wickedness, there's iniquity," and they were scarcely comforters, and he didn't understand. But as I shared yesterday's broadcast, that it all is explained in that opening chapter of Job, because Satan throws a challenge in God's face. He says, in fact, God brings Satan's attention to Job. He said, "Have you considered Job, a just and an upright man? There's none like him in all the earth." God was proud of Job. And then Satan says, "It's just because you've blessed him. Take away that hedge and then see what he does. He'll curse you to your face." And of course, God allows that before the courts of heaven. And we see that in spite of his lack of understanding, in spite of the sorrow, the grief, the alienation, his wife says, "Curse God and die." He said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." And so, beloved, God was exonerated. He, in fact, today, no matter when we go through some of the things we go through, don't You know, you can't listen to preachers that say, you know, if you're going through a problem, you've got a problem. No, God allows these testings to prove us, to show what was in our heart, as he did for the people of Israel. And when he brought them through those fierce waters, when he brought them to the Red Sea, he didn't abandon them on that far shore, but like a shepherd, he led his flock through the perilous wilderness under the charge of his servant Moses. And so that's how the psalm ends. The psalmist needed no other argument. God has surely revealed himself once and for all. He was definitely on Israel's side. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? And this was under the Old Testament. This is a psalm that was written before the birth and the sufferings of Christ and his tremendous redemption on the cross of Calvary. For us, we understand what Jesus did in his love for us to redeem us from the power of Satan. For the Israelites, the promised land still lay ahead. There were yet many battles to be fought and won. But instead of weakness and despair and doubt, as the psalmist contemplated all this, he could go on with a firm step and the light of faith ablaze in his heart, knowing with the confidence that we have in Scripture from the New Testament, Philippians 1 and 6, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion, that God will undertake, he will deliver us. One thing is needful, beloved, and that is our relationship with Jesus. We have God's promises. 1 John 2:27 declares, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing, God's presence, beloved, teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." We can have that confidence that no matter what difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter what the battle, God is with us, and he will deliver us. And as we trust in him, as we remember his faithfulness, as we praise God, as we pray to him and submit ourselves to him and search our hearts that we can be righteous before him, God will not fail us. He will be faithful and deliver us because he loves us. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.